Welcome to the Digital Ambitioso Podcast, the ultimate show for driven and ambitious Filipinas who want to replace their corporate jobs with a thriving digital career and live life on their own terms. I'm your Tita Shane, a certified public accountant turned online freelancer and now in the process of becoming my own boss as an online entrepreneur. I'm so honored that you chose to spend your time with me today. Now let's get into the show.
Hi, sis. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for saying yes to this podcast episode. Ang dami-dami namin kailangan from you na information.
Hello, Shane. Yes, of course. Ikaw pa. As usual, as always.
Really ayan. Mabuti naman at malakas tayo dito kay Cecil. Cecil, before anything else, before we even discuss about accounting and tax and business registration, please let them know who you are, what you do, and what your firm does specifically for your clients.
All right. So thank you for the opportunity, actually, Shane. No? So I'm Cecil Maglunog Pagaspas. I'm one of the partners of G Pagaspas Partners and Company CPAs, also a VP of Tax and Accounting, VP Operation of Tax and Accounting Center, Inc. Well, basically, for GPP CPAs, we are a full-arm, mid-size accounting firm based in Makati. And we have our outsourcing hub in Aklan. And then for the Tax and Accounting Center, we are actually a consulting firm and a training provider as well since 2011. So basically, our focus is giving information to small taxpayers, publics, to even practitioners and students. So yun talaga yung pinaka-core namin sa Tax and Accounting Center. And for the GPP CPAs, of course, the usual accounting firm service line. And most of our clients actually are BPOs. So yun yung pinaka-niche market namin. And along with the BPOs are the freelancers as well. Kasi parang hand-in-hand yung mga BPOs and freelancers.
Ayan. So we are all in good hands kasi naiintindihan ni Cecil yung mundo natin sa digital freelancing and agency ownership. So, excited ako today, Cez, because as I told you before, the goal of this podcast episode is not to teach them how to DIY stuff. So guys, if you're expecting nitty-gritty details, ano yung requirements para magpa-register, this is not the podcast for you. But this podcast is really aimed towards teaching you higher level stuff, more on mindset, and more on helping you make decisions talaga. Para kapag sinasabihan kayo ng ganito ng accountant nyo, alam nyo kung ano yung pinagsasabi niya, di ba? Basic information muna tayo, mindset stuff, and more of bird's eye view kung ano ba talaga yung kailangan nyong gawin with your business registration. So, ang daming freelancers ngayon, actually meron na nga na may agencies na rin sila, tumagal na, but still hindi sila nagpaparegister. So, let's talk about, I think I want, yung pinakaunang gusto kong pag-usapan natin para matackle natin tong issue is the misconceptions, no, in business registration and taxes. Says, ito yung mga naririnig ko from our world. Bakit pa ako magbabayad ng tax? Eh, corrupt naman yung mga officials natin sa government. So, for sure, bubulsa lang nila yung pera ko. Number two, nasa abroad naman yung clients ko. Bakit pa ako magpaparegister? Hindi naman, di ba, hindi naman nila malalaman or masisilip yan. And then number three, parang dagdag gastos lang naman yung tax. Parang wala namang value adding sa buhay ko. Tapos magbabayad lang ako sa gobyerno. So, let's answer all of this from your perspective as an accountant.
Alright. So, those misconceptions actually are very common. Hindi lang sa mga freelancers, but even to other entrepreneurs actually. And that's one of our advocacy to help them learn the basic really of business compliance. So, first na sinasabi nila is may corruption naman, so bakit ako magbabayad ng tax? As business owners, it is our duty actually to pay taxes kasi we are generating income out of the Philippine economy. So basic lang siya na magbayad tayo ng tax. And for us to pay taxes, we need to register our business. So, siguro later we have part about business registration. So, dun ko na lang i-discuss yung mga options na yon. But then, for corruption kasi hindi naman natin yan kontrolando. So, kung may corrupt naman mga government officials, then wala tayong magagawa doon. At least on our side as business owners, we are clean and we can sleep at night peacefully na wala tayong iniisip na one day, somebody will knock on our door and asking if we are registered or not, or we have paid our taxes or not. And then second is, sa abroad naman yung clients ko. Okay. Yes, sa abroad naman sa, ang clients mo kasi yan actually yung, I mean, yan ang market natin as freelancers or kaya nasa outsourcing na industry. But the income, kumbaga, the income that you're generating is actually, kumbaga, tawag dito, dito siya na-perform sa Philippines. So we have the obligation to pay taxes as well. That's part of our tax rules. So hindi ko napapanaliman yung portionary tax rules. Basta kung saan mo kinandap yung service, being a resident of the Philippines, dun ka magbabayad na pa. So you need to pay your taxes. And then the third one is, the third one
bawas
is
income.
The bawas income. Okay. Bawas income lang daw ang pagbabayad ng tax. Now, I'm telling you that it depends on the tax type kung may babayaran ba tayo or hindi. So it's really a matter of understanding the rules on how to compute and how to pay taxes. Say for example, income tax. May babayaran ka lang na income tax or your ITR, may babayaran ka lang sa ITR kapag meron kang net income. Kung baga, yung kita mo na revenue less yung mga expenses, meron kang net na natira, doon ka lang naman kukumpyuta ng net income, sa net income ng tax. And then second is, for example, the value-added tax or the VAT. So pass on lang naman siya, pinasa mo lang naman siya na tax. So hindi naman galing actually sa bulsa mo yun. Say for example, merito customer, binil mo si customer, meron kasama 12%, binayaran niya yon. So kumbaga, hindi siya part ng income mo. So it's really a matter of understanding the rules about the basic taxation. Ito, isa pa. I think ito lagi yung naririnig ko na common sa client. Withholding tax. So sinasabi nga, withholding tax na dagdag gasto sa akin. No, it's actually the income tax of the other party. So kung bumili ka doon sa isang supplier mo and then that is subject to withholding tax, tax niya actually yon, hindi mo yung tax. So kumbaga, we need pera held niya eh. Inawakan. Oo, pera niya yon actually. We need held. Kumbaga, ikaw lang yung agent, tapos ikaw yung mag-remit, obligado ka mag-remit sa BIR. So, those are actually the basic misconception, and I agree with you. I can feel you because I have met a lot of clients actually with the same notion. And yun nga, it's just really a matter of understanding the basic rules and concept about taxation.
I like this thing that you always say kapag nag-uusap tayo na if you want to grow, you have to start right. And that includes registering your business and parang understanding your taxes din, of course. Registering buo, ha? Hindi yung register lang nasa DTI yes. ka lang tas di ka na nagkano. Can you expound more about that?
Alright, yeah. If you want to grow big, you start right. That's always our kumbaga, tagline. And that's always our advice to our client. Kasi if you are doing a business, you need to register that with the agency. So number one, either you select with the DTI or the SEC, depending sa choice mo na structure. So so we need to register our business because we need to do the proper business compliance. And part of the business compliance is you paying the correct taxes to the government. And as well as reporting as well yung financial kumbaga yung financial status, yung financial performance mo kasi like di ba hinihingan tayo ng financial statements ni BIR or ni SEC. So we need to do that because this is to legitimize our business activities. So whenever you do business here in the Philippines, kailangan meron ka papeles. And then pag wala kang papers, okay, yeah, doon muna tayo sa compliance side. Pag wala kang papers na ipapakita, then you're considered na, quote-unquote, bogus ka na business owner or business party, diba? Then, I will just give you a very classic example. We have clients before na malaki na yung business niya, pero hindi niya pa nare-register. And then, syempre, malaki yung pera niya sa banko. And then one day parang gusto niyang mag-travel abroad. So ngayon hinihingan siya ng ITR kasi part of I think visa application that was for visa application. Ngayon nagkukumahog sila, pwede niyo ba kami gawa ng ITR so and so forth. So parang do you want that type of hassle? No, kumbaga parang you have a lot of money in the bank but as easy as producing a proper ITR, hindi mo yun magawa kasi nga, you were not able to register your business properly. So that's part of the benefit actually of registering your business. Proof of income, di ba? Some of you might have experienced that na hinihingan tayo ng proof of income. Then, binigyan mo sila ng malaking balance sa banko. You have this good bank statement, pero still, ITR. It will still go back doon sa, do you have the ITR or do you have the payslip to show me that you really have these sources of income. So, isa yun sa mga benefits if we have to look, kumbaga, doon sa the simplest form, the simplest reason on why you have to register your business. And the other thing is that reliability. Kumbaga, reliability and your branding as well. So if you're doing a good business, but you don't have any registration paper to show to your customers, you will end up as well na, you will end up na parang, yun nga, parang bogus pa din yung status mo. Kasi, sorry sa term, but that is really I think that's really the simplest term for that scenario. Pero, medyo mahihirapan ka i-build up yung brands mo. Because wala ka registration papers. So the best way really to start your business, if you're looking for, say, I want to grow in this business industry, parang sure Canada, is to start the registration process kasi hindi naman siya madugo at hindi naman siya mahirap. So I think that those are the reason why you have to register a business, and those are the basic benefits of business registration.
And I also want to add, no, these are for the people listening na parang more into manifestation, spiritual universe kind of stuff. Na napaka laking boss move ng pagre-register mo ng business mo. And if you, parang kahit na, ako nga eh, parang wala na akong local clients, parang registered din yung business namin. And then, parang kahit na wala kang local clients, but still, it puts you in a different energy level, if that makes sense, na you feel na legitimate na yung business mo. Tama rin yung parang wala ring nag-grow na nagtatago. Meron bang ganun?
Yes.
Lalaki ka pero nagtatago ka. Parang wala namang ganun siguro. So parang paano ka ngayon magiging proud? No, ganito na yung business namin, lumaki na. Wala ka man lang maipaano sa social media, hindi mo rin ma-post doon yung mga gawa mo para sa clients mo, na may ganito kang clients ABC. Kasi nga in the first place, hindi ka proud na may business ka, hindi, alam mo yon to the world, kasi hindi ka nga registered. Okay. So,
exactly, yeah.
Diba, sis?
Yeah, and kasi ang at the back of your mind, you always have this thinking na, baka mahuli ako ni BIR, which is really true. That's the biggest risk that you are facing if you are not registered. So, kumbaga, parang sayang effort natin na, alam mo yon, dugo at pawis yung ginugugol mo in growing your business, and then at the end of the day, kakatok sila, and then wala na. Tapos na agad yung laban mo kasi wala kang maipakita. Sayang effort.
The penalties lang eh. Okay. So, for example, okay, Shane and Cecil, sige na, oo na, magpa-register na kami. The next question here is, where do I start? Yun palagi yung tanong nila kasi ang dami nilang naririnig na pwede pala dumiretso dun sa BIR, but I think, you know, they're already talking about being self-employed, says. And then, ano ba, may mayor pa pala. So, saan tayo mauuna talaga? Okay, so where do I start?
Alright. So, for this is specific and generic concept na lang muna ng business registration. Kasi, yung mga freelancers, some of them are going that way. So, generic concept, where do you start? Number one is, you have to choose what type of business entity ang gusto mong itayo. So, pag sinabi natin business entity, gusto mo ba ng sole proprietor? Or gusto mo ba ng kumbaga, you are looking forward for a very, not really very big, but a growing operation that you need to have a corporate entity. So doon, sa mindset muna ko, anong business entity ang gusto mo? And then, if you have chosen already which one to go, so if DTI, if sole prop, then you go DTI. If corporation, you go to SEC. And after that, within 30 days, tatandaan niyo na, within 30 days, kailangan niyo nang mag-register sa BIR. Kasi may corresponding penalty yan. Kapag hindi ka nag-register sa BIR within 30 days after DTI or SEC registration. Now, said BIR, then once you are registered with the BIR, you get the certificate of registration. So that certificate of registration, dyan naka-show yung tax type mo. So yun yung tax type na kailangan mong i-comply monthly or quarterly and annually. So, babasahin mo lang yan kung ano doon. But it will depend also doon sa application form na pinilapan mo doon sa BIR. So, after BIR, then actually ngayon, I think pwedeng mag-parallel si mayor's permit. Okay, yung sa local government.
Sabay. So, ibig mo sabihin, pwede nilang sabay. After DTI, pwedeng sabay BIR and mayor.
Yeah. I think, yeah, that can be done. So, you get the mayor's permit sa LGU. And then, once okay na yung LGU permit mo, then pag meron kang mga empleyado, you go to the SSS PhilHealth SSS PhilHealth pag-ibig. And then, monthly compliance. So, yun lang ang pinaka-basic na ano, pinaka-basic na process ng business registration. So, it's not really that complex. For some naman na freelancer na gusto nila yung simpler na process, merong tinatawag na, I think that's other professional receipt, parang PTR siya. PTR siya for us licensed professionals, but there's, I think, OPP, parang ganun yung term nila. Pwede nilang gamitin yon and then diretso na sila sa
BIR.
Yeah. So, kumbaga, yan ay considered as mayor's permit. Pero, ang suggestion ko, if you're really projecting an operation or a growth na medyo maganda siya in a matter of 3 years time, then you consider going into an OPC or 2PC na structure. Para kumbaga yung branding, sa branding din, lalo na kapag you have a foreign client, iba pa din siya kapag ang ka-deal nyo foreign and then they are dealing with a corporate entity here in the Philippines. Iba talaga yung impact and perception.
Totoo. So parang ngayon, Ses, meron ng OPC, or for those who do not know, si SEC kasi, si Securities and Exchange Commission, meron na siyang one-person corporation. Dati ba, Ses, ilan nga yung minimum? 5? 15?
Ano? I think that, yeah, that was 5
yung ano. So, you need 5 people for you to have a corporation. So, now, Limelight Digital, my company, is a one-person corporation kasi nga, ako lang yung may-ari nun. And then, si DTI din, kapag ikaw lang din ang may-ari na mag-isa ka, may sole proprietor sila. So, now, the question is, which one is better ba talaga? Mag-sole prop ba ako or mag-OPC na lang ako?
Okay. So, ito, opinion ko lang to. Personal opinion ko ito na. For me,
professional for me, opinion mo yan. Hindi yan personal.
Sige. Professional. Sige. So, based on my opinion, opinion na lang ha, para hindi bias. So, I think for me, the better structure is OPC. Why? Because in OPC, you are creating a separate juridical entity. No? So, a separate juridical entity na to, hiwalay ito sa persona mo, sa personal mo na identity. Which means, say for example, you have creditors or there are issues, serious matters within your business doon sa OPC, nakahiwalay yung asset mo doon. Hindi basta-bastang madadama yung personal assets mo, yung pinagpaguran mo before, personal investments mo doon sa OPC, sa problem ng OPC. We don't ask that naman to happen sa'yo. Pero kumbaga, worst case scenario, in an OPC structure, mas beneficial siya para mahiwalay yung personal assets mo sa business asset. Sa sole prop kasi, it's just like you're putting everything in one pocket. So, pag nagkaroon ng issues ng problem, ikaw din yon personal, ikaw din yung kumbaga, directly na tatamaan ng issue na yon kasi because of the structure. So, that's why we are always encouraging sa our clients kapag nagtatanong sila na ano yung benefit kapag OPC versus sa sole proprietor, we always give that reason na in OPC, you are creating a separate juridical entity and that is the wisest thing to do if you are dealing with clients, suppliers, and even employees. Kasi sometimes pag may mga labor cases, di ba, hindi mo naman yan kasalanan sana directly, but because ikaw ay sole proprietor, ikaw ang may-ari, then direct na kang madadamay doon sa issue. Unlike if it is a corporation structure, meron pang level yan. But of course, meron piercing the veil, hindi na natin i-introduce yan, pero medyo complex na yan. Pero I mean, sa basic na concept, yun yung pinaka-benefit talaga of putting up a corporation over a sole proprietor.
Basically, parang nanganak ka talaga ng bagong tao. Tapos, pag yes, may utang yes, siya, yes. Utang niya lang yun. Pag na-bankrupt siya, siya lang
ang na-bank.
Pero pa kunyaring 500,000 na utang si company after na liquidate lahat ng assets niya or binenta lahat ng properties ni company, tas may natira pang utang. Kapag nasa sole prop, pati yung properties ni Shane, ay wag naman kay Shane, ni Juan de la Cruz. Pati yung properties mo as the owner, pwedeng kunin nung creditors, 'di ba? Ses, tama ba 'yung pagkakaintindi ko diyan?
Yes. Yes, yes. As long as you didn't use your one person corporation to pierce the veil, o para yun nga, kumbaga para dun sa ibang hangarin na masama, then magkakaroon ng separation. I-observe yung pagiging separatory legal entity niya. Yun yung pinaka-basic doon. And isa pa, another benefit of putting up a corporation instead of sole proprietor is on the tax rate. On the income tax rate. Kasi, remember, kapag sole prop, you have, let me just check yung hindi ako masyadong maganda sa memorya eh. So, yung tax rate kasi ng sole proprietor starts at 15% to 35%. So, kapag ang net income mo is around, starts at 250,000, that yung tax rate mo is 15% na agad. But if you have
250,000 annual income mo yan. So parang 20,000 yes. A month lang yan. Diyos ko mga freelancers, alam nyo na hindi ganyan yung income nyo.
Yeah. So kumbaga lang. So kumbaga medyo yon. I-weigh mo din yun eh. Kumbaga if you have to do some kumbaga projection, annual projection kung magkano yung magiging net income mo for the year. And then for the succeeding years, para maka-decide. Kasi medyo mataas yung 35% compared to 20 or 25% income tax rate ng corporation. So,
annual income na papatong na siya sa 30 to 35%? Ano yung ano doon?
I think 8 million and above.
8 million and above.
So for example sa ang maximum dito sa graduated tax rate up to 800,000 kapag sole proprietor ka 20% yung tax rate mo.
Hanggang 800,000 a year.
Net income. I think masasurpass nitong 800,000 lalo na kapag madami kayong mga foreign clients. Then for the 25,000 that's 800,000 to 2 million. 25,000.
You mean 25%?
25%. At 25%. Yeah. Yeah. Hanggang 2 million. So yeah, you really have to do the math para i-compare kung mas beneficial ba siya or hindi. Kasi most of the time when we do comparatives or comparison dun sa net income ng mga individuals na medyo may maganda ng operation, mas beneficial pa din talaga yung corporation. So that's why. Yeah. Isa yan sa material na material na factor to decide if you want to go sole prop lang talaga. Hindi ko naman nila lang yung sole prop pa, pero mas simple structure kasi siya compared sa corporate structure.
Okay. Punta tayo dito sa So parang okay na yun ha guys. Sana clear na sa inyo kung anong pinagkaiba ng sole prop tsaka nung one person corporation. Or actually ngayon yung corporation, dalawa na lang yung kailangan. Diba sis? Yung requirements. So, parang pwedeng bang mag-asawa, mag-nanay, mag-tatay,
yeah, actually, sa OPC nga. Sa OPC nga, ikaw lang yun eh. Di ba? Like
correct.
You are young. Mm-hmm. You and then you have your other family members as parang nominee.
Corporate secretary.
Di ba? No, corporate secretary, treasurer. Yeah. And nominee. I think nominee. So, So, but they are not the major players.
Mm-hmm.
Kumbaga parang control lang yun ni SEC na nilagay dyan. But then, kumbaga parang gusto mong ako to, ikaw, yeah, OPC is the best structure ko. Ayaw mong may kahating ibang people dyan sa business mo.
Kung may kahati naman, ano yung pinaka-minimum na share nung kahati? Kunyari, magnanay. Gusto lang talaga niyang yung nanay niya para maging INC siya, incorporated. Ganun. Ayaw niya ng... ayaw niya ng kama OPC, di ba? Gusto niya ng kama INC, yeah. Ganon. Ano yung minimum na share nung ano other partner?
Wala. Walang minimum na
pwedeng
share.
Pwedeng
one? Number of share.
Pwedeng one lang siya, 99 yung ano. Ayun na, narinig niya na yun.
Sangalan ng dalawa ang shareholder. At least one.
Pwede siya. So, yun naman pala. Hindi naman kailangan na 50-50 talaga. Ayun, baka kalain kasi nila dapat 50-50. Kaya natatakot silang maghanap ng kapartner. Okay. So, I hope that's clear na. Punta tayo dito sa, Diyos ko, paano ba natin gagawing basic to, Cecil? Business taxes. Bakit ang dami kong binabayaran? Nagbayad na ako ng isang quarter, tapos meron pa palang annual. Ano-ano yung mga to? Bigyan na lang natin sila na kahit explanation na kung ano yung pinagkaiba ng lahat ng yon, Ces. Yung nasa listahan ko ay business tax, income tax, tsaka VAT.
Okay. Business tax. Business tax muna tayo, ha. And also, I hear a lot of complaints about ang dami-dami kong binabayaran. So, for me, tax is actually a happy problem. Kasi if you are paying for a tax, it means you are gaining something out of your business. Kasi hindi ka naman magbabayad ng tax kapag wala kang kita. Yan yung tatandaan nyo. Paying taxes is actually a good thing because it means you are earning something out of your business. Now, sige, let's discuss yung mga basic tax type that you might be encountering kapag you go with the proper compliance in your business as freelancers. Number one, business tax. Business tax or local tax. Ito yung binabayaran mo sa munisipyo. Ito yung sisingilin sa'yo ni Mayor beginning of the year. And this relates to your operation in the previous year. Okay, yun yung tatandaan nyo. So yung basis ng business tax mo ay yung operation mo last year. Kaya nga January siya binabayaran eh. Diba? So that's why hiningi nila na sana quarter ni ITR mo, na sana FS mo na raw. Sabi nila kung hindi pa audited. Yun yung basis ng computation ni Mayor ng business tax. So, anong tax rate nito? It depends on your municipality. Meron 1%, might be percent, meron 2.5%, depende. Check nyo na lang sa munisipyo nyo. So, that is a local tax. So, yan yung tax na ginagamit pang clean up drive, lahat yan pang
May tanong ako sa'yo tungkol dyan. Binabangga ba ni LGU kay BIR yung sinubmit mo na income?
Yes, for some, yes. Kaya, di ba,
baka iba yung i-disclose dun ba?
Oo, yan yung ano, minsan, meron kami client yan, to be honest, ang laki ng penalty niya sa local government, like 700,000 yata, kasi medyo malaki operation niya, kasi nga, akala nila hindi binabangga ni LGU yung computation ng business tax sa dineclare na sales sa BIR. Hiningi ngayon yung quarterly. Hiningi muna una yung FS nila for the year na meron sila sa record yung nag-compute na doon ng numbers. And then, hiningi ngayon yung quarterly ITR. Binangga ang layo na may discrepancy. Nagka-penalty kasi na doon sa discrepancy. So, be careful. Kasi if you're doing business, you should only maintain one record lang. Huwag yung record para sa local government, record para sa personal mo, record para sa banko, record para sa BIR, huwag ganon. So yun, yun ang business tax. So yun ang business tax.
Based on gross income ba yan? Okay, sige. Based on gross
sales.
So parang depende sa municipality, pwedeng 1 or 2 or depende talaga.
Or 3%.
Pero hindi naman siya aabot talaga ng 5. Wala bang ganon?
I don't think so. Kasi hanggang 3% lang yata yung local tax.
Okay. Good.
Unless updated ang memory ko. Pero yun lang. Ganun lang. Manit lang siya.
Manit lang siya, guys. Don't worry.
Oo. Tsaka ito ha. Tip ko lang ha. Kasi ang mga local government, very considerate sila. Basta maaga ka magpa-compute at magbabayad ng tax, mas nagbibigay sila ng discount. A lot of LGUs are giving discount. So, tips lang yan. Kung meron kang pambayad, go na ipa-compute mo na agad dyan na mas maaga at bayaran mo na mas maaga. Pero pag medyo gaol yung cash flow mo, pwede naman siyang maging quarterly payments. So, okay lang din yun sa LGU as long as nagbabayad ka. So, ganun siya. Yung business.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, so that's for the business tax. Ano nga yung isa? Ano yung sunod? Income tax, no? So income tax naman, basic, very basic na concept niya is your gross revenue, kita mo minus lahat ng legit business expense. Okay? Again, a legit business expense equal to net income, yung sa bottom line lang na natira, yun lang yung itatax na income tax. Pag wala kang natira or negative pa, wala kang babayaran tax.
Yan yung lugi, so ka. Lugi ka.
Oh, wala kang lugi babayaran. Yung totoong lugi ah. Hindi yung kinanggam mo pati yung
lugi sa papel.
Baka kinanggam mo yung grocery ng nanay mo, grocery ang ano gas ng tatay mo, kinanggam. Legit business expense. So, ito kasi madaming medyo nagiging practice ito. Nangungulat na tayo ng resibo kasi feeling natin pwede siyang allowed expense siya. Ang downside nun, if you are doing that, is you are not seeing yung pinaka-transparent na financial position mo. Kumbaga, dahil kinarga mo yung expenses na hindi naman sa'yo, ngayon hindi mo na alam kung kumikita talaga ang negosyo mo or hindi kumikita ang negosyo mo. One question sa mga freelancers, wala ako masyadong business expense kasi ang expense ko lang, telepono, internet, or gas kapag nag-meeting. Very, very, very small ang operating expense ko. Anong pwede kong gawin? Now, you have the option actually to avail yung optional standard deduction. So, ang optional standard deduction, ito yung 40% of your...
gross.
40% of your gross income. As yun yung pinaka-deduction mo. So, again, that's another number game. So, i-compute mo yon, i-estimate mo na naman, i-compute mo. So, parang tax planning na din yan. Kukumpute mo, beneficial ba sa akin na OSD ang gamitin ko kaysa itemized? Pag sinabi natin itemized, yun yung isa-isa, o yung gasto ngayong buwan, yung electricity kong related dito sa negosyo, internet, gano'n. And then, sa OSD kasi, hindi mo na kailangan mag-ipon at mag-collecta ng resibo. So, yun na yun. For example, pag nag-check si BIR, hindi na siya maghahanap sa'yo na saan yung resibo mo, ipakita mo. Kapag OSD yung in-apply mo. So, that could be an option for some the freelancers na i-avail nila yung OSD over the itemized. So, it actually impact yung income tax computation ninyo. So that's the income tax. That's the concept of income tax. Kung ano lang natira doon na ikita mo, doon lang mag-a-apply yung tax rate ng income tax. Pag wala, edi wala. Pag lugi talaga, wala kang babayaran ng income tax.
Yung OSD ba, says, ibig sabihin nun ay 60% yung net income mo? Or 40% yung net income mo? Yung sinabi mong 40%, yun yung deduction.
Yes, yun yung allowed deduction. So parang ganon kapag sold prop, parang 60%.
So parang 60% yun of your gross income, yun yung gagamitin to compute the income tax. So, kaya rin kailangan yung ibangga, yung actual income nyo na itemized, or ibig sabihin nun yung parang nakalista talaga lahat, saan ba yung mas mataas? Oo, yung 40% ba or yung actual expenses. Kasi kung maliit yung actual expenses, tulad nga sa atin, hindi nga tayo makalabas ng bahay. So, parang mas beneficial sa atin yung OSD. Ano ibig sabihin ng OSD ulit, Ses? Para sa manunod.
That's optional standard deduction, yung OSD.
Optional standard deduction. Okay.
Yeah, oo. Okay. So, parang yun na kayo mamulat ng mga resibo. Okay, but... Okay, si VAT naman, si value added tax, hindi mo yung tax. Okay, hindi, tatandaan nyo, pag sinabing VAT, hindi mo tax yun. Kundi tax yun ng customer mo. Pass on tax. Okay? Now, ang misconception lang dito sa VAT kasi, dahil yung iba hindi naiintindihan na kapag nagpresyo ka, kumbaga yung pricing mo, di ba, pag labas mo, sabihin natin, yung service mo ay 5,000 per hour. And then you are registered as VAT NPT. So ngayon, kailangan sa pricing strategy mo, na-consider mo na kung dapat ba inclusive or exclusive of VAT yung pricing kung nilalabas na to. Kasi yung VAT, nakainin yan. Supposed to be pass-on tax yan si VAT. So kumbaga, ipapasa mo siya sa customer. So kung 5,000, and then yan ang presyo ng service mo plus VAT, dapat mag-a-add-on ka pa doon sa billing mo. So technically, hindi mo talaga yung tax. Kinolekta mo lang yon on behalf of the government and you are now obliged to remit that to the government. But at the same time, then ikaw ay buyer ka din of other services and product, pwede mong i-offset ngayon yung VAT na ipinasa naman sa'yo. So, di ba dalawang klase yung VAT? Input and output VAT. Kapag nagbenta ka, output VAT ang tawag doon. Pag bumili ka naman, input VAT yon. So, pag nagbenta ka ng service dito sa Philippines, mayroon siyang 12% VAT, bumili ka din ng goods doon na applicable sa business mo, ima-minus mo muna yun. Whatever net number, yun yung i-remit mo ngayon sa BIR. But for freelancers, ito, masaya sa freelancers. Kasi because you're servicing mostly foreign clients, then you are subject to 0% VAT. Okay? You are not. Ha?
Bakit ako nang babayad ng VAT? Mali ba yung
account ko? Mag-confused. Pero you have to check on that. Kasi if pwede. You are servicing foreign client, that is considered to be export service. So kung export service, 0% yung VAT. Kung local naman and then local clients, then you have to pass on 12% VAT. So, kapag may local clients ka na, saya ka mag-pass ng 12% na VAT. So, yun yung konsepto ng VAT. So, yun sa iba, sinasabi, non-VAT ang gusto ko. Kung non-VAT ang gusto mo, yun yung top bias sa income mo. Kasi, yun yung 3% other percentage tax. So, for example, ang gross revenue mo for the month is, sabihin natin, 150,000. Non-VAT registered business. So, kailangan mo magtapyas na 3% dyan. And then, nire-remit mo siya. So, it becomes part of your other expenses. Yan ang literal na nagiging expense mo. Yung portion ng 3%. And that's why, if you think, may hit mo yung threshold na 3 million, or it's just simply na ayokong i-shoulder yung portion na yan ng tax. Gusto ko ipasa sa customer ko. I would rather advise you to register under VAT taxpayer. Kasi kahit ako nga, merong business. Sige, sorry.
So, to clarify muna, so, ano yun? Exclusive yun. Either nasa percentage ka, tax ka, or VAT ka. Ganun ba yun? Pag non-VAT ka, nasa percentage tax ka. Pag VAT registered ka, yun naman yung ano mo, yung parang VAT naman yung problema mo na. Sana wag naman maging problema pala yung babayaran. Kasi kasuhin. Okay, so ano pala yon? Parang it's not so don't be confused na parang hala may VAT pa, may percentage pa. So it's an option within your business. And also parang siguro kung nasa ang level ka na rin. Kasi pagdating mo talaga ng 3 million, wala ka na rin namang choice. Magiging VAT registered rin naman talaga.
Exactly. Yeah. And yun nga, number
kaya
one, kung mahit mo na yung diba, threshold. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sige, go ka muna.
Yeah, so yun yung sinasabi ko. If you think you can hit already the threshold ng VAT, then go for it. Kasi eventually, kailangan mo din mag-register sa VAT. Second is, if most of your clients are foreign, mag-VAT registered ka na lang. Alam niyo bakit? Kasi 0% yung VAT. Kesa mag-other percentage tax ka, meron ka 3% na tatapyas talaga yun sa, kumbaga, yun yung pinaka-income mo eh. Magiging other expense. So, matter really of understanding the basic rules on that.
Ito na yung sasabihin ko sana kanina. Hindi ba nga dapat goal natin na maging VAT registered tayong lahat? Ayaw nun, diba? Nang 3 million na income. Ayaw nyo ba no? Dapat goal natin yung lahat na maging, na dun tayo sa VAT, diba? And I really like what you said, Ses, na it's a matter of pricing structure. Kasi pag sa mind mo, yung parang, ito yung cost of service ko, kunyari sa amin sa freelancing. Yeah. Ito yung direct labor ko, kunyari may team ako. O ito na sa mga tao ko. Ito pa sa mga subscriptions namin, sa operating expenses ko, na mga utilities ko, etc., etc. O tapos ito na yung profit ko. Diba? Tapos, dun ka papataw nung, parang dapat sa isip mo kasi, nai-imagine mo natin na transfer mo yung VAT sa kanya para pagbayad mo nun, yung parang ano ka lang, tigahawak ka lang nung pera, hindi mo na-feel na minus yun sa income mo kasi actually, yung client mo yung nagbayad nun, di ba? Tapos i-remit mo na lang, siya yung nagbayad nun, and minus yun sa bulsa niya, i-remit mo na lang siya sa BIR. So that's a really good shift in mindset about paying our taxes, lalo na pag nasa VAT. May gusto kang sabihin about withholding. Parang ganun din naman kasi yung concept, no?
Parang ganun din yung withholding. Kasi sa withholding tax, hindi mo yung tax. Tax yun ng supplier mo, ng binayaran mo, na subject sa withholding tax. So, kumbaga parang, di ba, pag magbabayad, kasi for example, you pay 5,000, tapos may withholding na sabihin natin 10%, 500. So, di ba, imaminus mo yung 500 na yan doon sa 5,000. So, 4,500 na lang ngayon ibabayad mo doon sa supplier mo. Natira sa iyo yung 500. Supposed to be, income niya yon yung 500 na yon. Pero dahil withholding agent ka, may withholding tax, you are obliged to hold that amount of money and remit that to the BIR. So ngayon, ang risk actually sa withholding lies on the withholding agent. So sa'yo na nagbabayad, ikaw ang may risk nun kapag hindi mo nabayad sa BIR. Kasi control yun ni BIR na at least kung hindi man magbayad yung supplier na to, at least may natirang X percentage na amount doon sa customer niya na ibabayad sa akin. So yun yung concept ng withholding tax. So again, mindsetting ulit yun. Now, withholding tax, yung natira sa'yo na yung portion ng pera, hindi sa'yo yun.
Totoo.
Pero yun ng gobyerno.
Nahawak lang sa'yo.
Pinapahawak mo lang sa'yo. Tapos kailangan mo i-remit. So, yun kasi feeling natin, dami natin pabayaran. Withholding sa renta, withholding sa ganito, withholding sa ganito. Tapos, umabot na siya ng 50,000 a month. Feeling mo, ang laki-laki na. Pero excuse me, sabi ni BIR at ni government, hindi mo pera yun sa kanila yun. Okay, so another mindsetting again pagdating sa withholding.
May mga questions ako dito, Ses, from our audience and from our community. By the way, guys, if you are not yet a member of the Digital Ambitioso Network Facebook group, I encourage you to go there and join. Kasi doon kami nagdi-discuss nung mga episodes, tsaka nagchichikahan, di ba, about adulting and agency building and scaling our freelancing careers. Before that, though, Ses, I would like you to also share to them where they could contact you and, you know, promote Tax and Accounting Center education services, kung may seminars kayo, and also what you do mismo dun sa firm.
Yeah. Alright, so okay, so basically, yun nga, si Tax and Accounting Center na lang i-promote ko kasi I think there you can really benefit dun sa mga free resources namin sa website. So you visit www.taxandaccountingcenter.ph. So basically, yan yung website namin. Ginawa yun ng partner ko si Gary Pagaspas few years back kasi na-realize niya kulang talaga yung resources dito sa Philippines. So, meron kasi siya handle na malaking client dati. Merong lawyer, merong mga CPAs na mga magagaling, pero na-penalize pa rin ng millions. So, you realize na, how about yung mga maliliit na walang pambayad sa lawyers, walang pambayad sa malalaking accounting firms, where will they get this basic information for them to get compliance sa business nila? And that's actually the history of Tax and Accounting Center. And that's our advocacy. So, that's why our tagline is Learn, Comply, and Save. So, we give a lot of basic information sa mga articles. Meron din doon guides na basic articles really about benefits of the OPC, comparative ng sole prop tsaka corporation. Kasi talagang ang goal namin is maintindihan yung mga basic na yan ng public. Para they can have a wise choice really for their business operation. Then, meron din kaming mga learning, may mga trainings kami online and face-to-face. And then, I want also to invite you. We have a hybrid event on November 17 or 18. This coming November 17 and 18. That's actually year-end tax updates and strategies about saving taxes, tax minimization. So, doon makakakuha kayo talaga ng mga good concept on how to save taxes. Ano ba talaga yung mga compliance na kailangan kong gawin for this year for those na naka-register na ng business? So those are reminders. And then monthly, we have trainings about basic taxes like understanding the basic concept of VAT, understanding the basic concept of withholding taxes, yung mga na-discuss natin kanina ng mga basic taxes, and even on how to register your business operation. We also have webinars about that. So, just check our website, taxandaccountingcenter.ph. And then, what else? So, if you need naman yung consultancy, kumbaga yung advice, face-to-face, one-on-one tayo mag-usap sa mga hinanakit mo sa business compliance, or kung ano. kung anong gusto mong problema, pag-usapan natin about your business, then you can also reach us through the website or through GPP website. So, pili lang kayo doon sa dalawang entities namin. And we will be very happy to assist you. Kasi, yeah, you are one of our pinaka-subject, yung mga freelancers, digital, mga professionals under digital economy. Yun yung mga gusto namin tulungan talaga, maintindihan yung pinaka-basic na concept ng business compliance.
Wala ka bang private community, Ses, na yung parang alam mo yun, magbabayad kami monthly para sa updates dyan tsaka sa seminars mo na kahit once or twice a month lang. Tapos kunya, alam mo kasi ganito ang nangyari. Share ko lang dun sa, parang may pa-seminar kasi si Sec. Actually, hindi rin naman ako yung nag-a-attend kasi nga may bookkeeper naman tsaka accountant. Sinesend ko sa kanila tapos, sige, umattend kayo dun tapos mag-report na lang kayo kung ano yung participation ko or kung ano yung kailangan kong gawin to. Kung meron man, pero kung wala, edi alam mo yun, parang hindi naman ako yung tamang tao na umattend dun. Pero yun nga, part ba yun ng plans nyo? Magpapa-private community ba kayo? Magandang idea yun, Sec.
Yeah. Actually, ngayon, we have our private group. So, yun yung pinaka-community namin ng Tax Accounting Center. A lot of interested parties are actually putting their questions there. And then, we are trying to answer them naman. Free pa lang ngayon. So, take that opportunity. Yeah, so we have Tax and Accounting Center group. So, try to search
Facebook
that.
Facebook ba yan?
Yes. It's in Facebook. So, doon, yung mga hindi masyadong complex, we're trying to answer that for free as part of our campaign then. So, yun.
So, thank you sa advocacy mo na for parang literacy, business literacy, not just ano, kundi para matulungan talaga na, alam mo yun, to educate. Kasi ang dami naming freelancers na gustong mag-agency pero hindi alam kung saan magsisimula. So, this is already a good start. Punta tayo sa mga questions, Ses. Okay. Because I have always, when people ask me, I have always advocated on parang mag-hire ka ng accountant, wag mong i-DIY yan. Ganun parati yung tanong ko, yung parang wag na nating problemahin dalawa to, yung problema mo ngayon, mag-hire ka ng accountant. Kasi ako nga na CPA, nag-hire din ako ng accountant. Kasi yung belief ko is, as a business owner, dapat hindi, iba na yung hat, is, parang alam mo yun, oh, business owner hat yung kailangan mong i-wear, not the accountant hat. So parang, I really believe in just hiring the right professional. So when it comes to hiring the right professional, what do you ask? What do you look for in that accountant para masabi mo na ay siya ata yung para sa akin?
Okay, para at least ma-conclude mo siya ang the one. No?
Siya ang the one.
Kasi choosing an accountant is like choosing really your partner in business. So, it's always, kumbaga, hindi naman lahat ng accountant suits you. So, you have to choose, number one, ito bang accountant na to updated? Okay, so, you can check naman siguro, you can, syempre, as part of this being a business owner, you have to do the basic research so that pag nakausap kayo initially, you can ask basic questions, so, updated ba to? Hindi, you can assess. Number two is, yung appetite niya towards compliance. Kasi mahirap yung you want to comply, but then yung partner mo na accountant is medyo used siya doon sa old ways about compliance. I will not expand that concept, pero at medyo alam niyo na yun siguro. But ensure na yung appetite niya towards compliance.
Magbigay ka talaga ng examples, Ses. Hindi namin alam.
Okay. So, hindi ko naman dyan na-generalize yung mga accountant. Mahal ko ang aking mga kapatid. Pero like, because there are really some accountants na medyo matapang-tapang sila pagdating sa compliance, no? Na like, hindi sila, they are very aggressive. They are not conservative. So, pag conservative kasi, like, pag may gray area, sabihin mo, you would rather pay na lang ganito kasi just to be safe, be on the safe side. There are some accountants na parang, wag mo nang bayaran, hayaan mo na, so on and so forth. So parang mag-end up pang non-compliant dahil napaka-aggressive ng approach nila. So you really have to weigh if which one you want to deal with being a compliant business owner. So that's why, depende yun sa appetite mo din eh. Kakayanin ba ng appetite mo sa compliance na pag ganito yung accountant na ka-deal mo, parang sige, go na, mag-bayad nga ako ng parang, gano'n. So, meron kasi talagang ganun. We cannot avoid that. And kumbaga, real talk yun siya. Then, the third one is that, is this accountant capable of giving you a good business advice. No, so good business advice in a manner na hindi lang siya magfa-file ng tax return mo, but would rather tell you something like, oh ma'am, this month your cash flow is very low, your income, your specific expense is quite high, baka pwede mo i-check, or this is your bottom line during the month, this is your operation. So, kasi, sabi ko nga, it like looking for a business partner, somebody who will speak about the numbers of your business operation at the end of the day. And then, the fourth one is that somebody na, kumbaga, somebody who will help you grow, find business opportunities. Medyo complex na siya, but it's still part, it should be part of your assessment process. Kasi, yung decision-making mo as a business owner, somehow mag-rely doon sa output sa sinasabi ng accountant mo din. So, I think those are the four important points in looking for a good accountant.
May mga top of mind ka ba na questions na kailangan nilang itanong and mga answers na hahanapin nila for them to gauge kung, for example, like top of mind is parang familiar sa akin ngayon, familiar ba sila sa digital economy, sa ginagawa ko mismo as a freelancer? Kasi parang iba yung expenses namin eh, di ba? Kunyari may subscriptions kami, tapos more kami on, kunyari pag may team, independent contractors, etc., etc. So parang, does it really help na parang may knowledge sila dun sa mundo namin, sa freelancing and digital agencies?
Yes, yes. That's an important factor na they understand their industry. Baka kasi, well, worse lang sila sa retail, di ba? Iba naman yung kalakaran sa retail. Correct. Sa digital economy kasi sa mga freelancers, we are talking about export services. So, pag export service, yung VAT zero rating compliance, ito yung number one. I think this is one important question to ask if you're talking about your prospect accountant. Are you familiar with the VAT zero rating requirements? Yon. Pag doon, yon, pag pumasa sila doon, medyo pak, ano yan, and pwede mo na siyang
buhanin.
Oo. Kasi, honest feedback, even BPO companies, they are actually having a lot of trouble when it comes to VAT zero rating requirements. They are the same actually as yours. If you are dealing with export service, foreign client, kasi you're under VAT 0% na VAT. So, specific kasi yung requirement ng VAT zero rating na binigay ni BIR that you need to comply. Kasi, if you are not compliant with the documentary requirement of the VAT zero rating, then the BIR might assess you. Parang may VAT. And you're operating as a VAT entity if you are not able to comply with the VAT zero rating requirements. So, I think that's the first, kumbaga, parang technical exam niya sa kanila. Para kunwari, ano, magbasa kayo dun sa ano namin, sa website, meron dun, what's your rating requirements? Tapos, yun, itanong nyo, ganon.
Magpa-exam.
Ito muna, technical exam natin. Oo. Kasi ano yan, common issue yan sa industry ng BPO at ng mga freelancers, yung what's your rating na yan.
Sabi ko nga sa iyo, di ba, nababayad ako ng VAT? Parang, ha? Kaya nga nang sinabi mo, teka hinihingan pa ako ng resibo bawat buwan kasi nga nag-ano ng VAT. Mm. Oh, ganon. Matuto na kayong lahat. Okay, that was
really good. May peculiarities kasi yung industry ng BPO tsaka ng freelancer. So, and like for example, yung mga subscription na yan, may gray areas din yan. So, kumbaga, just ask them if you are quite familiar dealing with the digital economy, with the BPO type ng industry so that you can assess if meron silang technical knowledge. Kasi at the end of the day, ka din naman yung mapipenalize sa BIR.
Totoo yun. Okay. So ito na, mag-hire na sila ng accountant. O paano ba yan, Cecil? Lahat na ba gagawin ng accountant? Siguro ang next ko na tanong is, ngayon na may accountant ka na, ready ka na mag-hire, ano ba yung expectation mo sa role mo as a business owner at sa role niya? Ano lang ba yung kaya niyang gawin sa'yo? Kasi baka naman mag-expect ka na lahat-lahat na talaga gawin para sa iyo, 'di ba? So, saan yung boundaries tsaka limitations doon, Ses?
Yeah, so I will speak from my experiences actually. I will share you.
Huwag ka naman kung hindi masyadong galit.
Pati naman, hindi naman.
Pag-uita kung manon ko nyari yung ano mo.
I'm used to it naman, no? Kasi being a service provider, we understand where you are coming from. Kasi like, parang kumbaga parang I'm paying you a lot of money. Dapat naisip mo na yon. So go back ako doon sa statement ko kanina na if you are dealing with accountants, you are dealing with your business partners. And when you deal about business, number one talaga is you start with a contract. Okay? So even though your accountant sabihin na, sige, bookkeeping na kita, compliance na kita, ang una mo munang hanapin, nasaan yung kontrata natin? Ano yung scope of works na ikakover mo? So that's how to deal. Yun yung first step. Like what, how you deal with your clients, you always start with a contract. Kasi the contract will say, ano yung scope of works? And that will actually avoid at the end of the day, yung blame game. Dapat ginawa mo to. Dapat sinabihan mo kung gawin mo to. So on and so forth. So being a service provider yourselves, naiintindihan nyo yun na kapag wala sa kontrata, hindi niya covered yun. Very common kasi na treatment sa mga accountants, lalo na sa local, is that your accountants is your, ano, parang savior na gagawin lahat, kumembot sa LGU, kumembot sa SSS, fill out pag-ibig, and all, everything. Sagot nyo na ang mundo mo pagdating sa financial world. No, it's not about like that. As a business owner, you should have your very basic knowledge about the taxes, your business compliances, your reports, and even the numbers. Hindi po pwede yung, hindi mo alam kung magkano kinita mo during the month or magkano yung gastos mo. That's your number and role. Kasi diba, paano sabihin mo, may accountant naman ako, bahala na siya mag-file. Okay, business compliance is not all about filing your taxes. As a business owner, you need to do business decision. And your business decision will actually come from the numbers produced by your accountant. So, kumbaga parang, si accountants kasi, ma-activate lang yung work nun kung anong binigay mo. So, sorry for the term, but if you give her or him trash numbers or trash information or data, they will also produce trash ano din, output. So, trash in, trash out lang yan. Tatatandaan nyo yan. So, that's why deal with equal, parang as with equality. Hindi nyo sila servant, hindi nyo sila alala, yung mga accountants. Speaking on behalf of our profession, we are professionals. So yun, but seriously speaking, as business owner, if you are nga a corporation, merong pinipirmahan si business owner na tinatawag na Statement of Management Responsibility. So kapag corporation ka, kapag nagfo-file ka ng SSSEC, hindi yan tatanggapin ni SEC. Kapag wala kang permadong SMR na tinatawag namin. Si SMR, sinasabi daw na, I have reviewed all the numbers, I understand, blah, blah, blah. Kumbaga, puro niyan lahat I or we as business owners. Kasi ang primary responsibility actually sa financial statements, sa taxes, ay business owners. Secondary lang sa accountants, sa mga auditors. So, that's how to deal with your accountants. Deal with transparency, deal with equality, deal as if like they are part of your business, being partners. Kasi laging magiging common yun na disagreement yan. Dapat sinabihan mo ako. Dapat ginawa mo to. So on and so forth. Tandaan nyo, madami silang kliyente. Hindi lang ikaw. So dapat ikaw na business owner, you have to exert the effort of understanding. Okay, itong business ko, nakaregister ako sa SEC, nakaregister ako sa BIR, ano kaya yung mga updates during the month? Then you ask your accountant, accountants may update ba? Like what you did, di ba? So parang, oh, may update. Accountant, kung hindi ka updated, mag-attend ka dyan para updated ka. Ako na magbibigay sa'yo. But there's an initiative for you to know, to learn, to understand ano yung mga basic rules, ano yung updates. Kasi hindi po pwedeng ipagkatiwala mo yung negosyo mo sa accountant na siya lang lahat. Kasi your business is your business at the end of the day. It's not your accountant's business.
Totoo yun. Amen tayo doon. Okay, nawa ay naliwanagan ang lahat. So, that is a really good conversation to be. Parang I feel like marami din sa amin ang hindi alam kung ano ba talaga yung ginagawa ng accountant. But, sa USS, ano yung mga services na in-offer, kunyari sa inyo, pag naging retainer, for your retainer clients, ano yung ginagawa nyo for them? So, kunyari part na dun yung filing. Ano pa yung mga tinatumbling nyo? At saka ano yung hindi nyo tinatumbling for them?
Okay. Sige. Para at least you have the idea kapag you're dealing with the accountants, no? Very basic na hinahanap sa accountant is filing of taxes and bookkeeping. So, very basic yun. So, bookkeeping, bibigyan niyo yung mga transactions niyo on a monthly basis. So, ibubookkeep yun, i-record siya, and then magpe-prepare ng tax returns filing sa BIR. Then, you just have to deal with your accountant kung siya bang magbabayad or ikaw magbabayad. But on our side, we avoid yung risk na kumbaga yung money ng client ay mapupunta sa amin tapos bigla kami sinisihin, dapat binayaran mo yan or hindi. So, we just prepare the tax and then give the accountability to them yung payment ng taxes kasi meron naman like GCash, may mga online payments naman. So, yun yung very basic service na kinukuha sa accountants. Then, second is the compilation. Ano yung compilation? Aside sa monthly retainer na pag-reporting sa, I mean, pag-update ng accounting request na tsaka taxes, yung compilation, yung pag-craft na paggawa na ng financial statement at the end of the year. So ngayon, kailangan klaro yun sa accountant, covered ba yun ng scope mo na ang paggawa ng FS? Kasi malaking trabaho yun, guys. Kung alam nyo lang, malaking trabaho siya. Hindi sapat minsan yung monthly retainer para i-absorb yung ano lang ba? Real talk lang ba ng business? Hindi siya. So, you have to clarify if the compilation service o yung paggawa ng FS ay covered. Then, sa annual, okay, if you have your accountant cannot sign your financial statement as an auditor. Natandaan nyo yan ha, hindi po pwede kasi there's an independence issue. There are a lot of circumstances akong na-observe na bookkeeper tapos dahil may BOA accreditation siya, pwede siyang magpirma. Siya na din ang pinapapirma. So, tatandaan mo yung boundary na yan. Hindi pwede ang accountant mo ang pumirma sa auditor's report mo. Kailangan mo mag-commission ng separate na professional to do the audit. Sabihin mo, dagdag gastos lang yan. No, it's not actually. It's actually part of your financial control. Para kung may auditor ka, makikita niya kung merong mali na kailangan i-correct si bookkeeper mo. And then, kumbaga may check and balance. So, it's up to you. Titipirin mo ba yung negosyo mo and at the end of the day, hindi mo makita yung errors, then you just want to save you amount of money, ayaw mo mag-hire ng proper auditor. So, then, what else? So, audit, compilation, iba yung nagpe-prepare ng FS, ha? Iba din ang nagpe-prepare ng FS yung nag-audit. Then, for those who will be registering as corporation, merong mga corporate secretarial work na hindi covered ni accountant. Okay? Ano
yung tulad ng?
Natandaan niyo yung for favor. GIS. Yung GIS. General Information Sheet na annual. Oo. Mm-hmm. General Information Sheet na annual. Or kaya merong
sa SEC yun?
Yes, sa SEC yun. So mostly sa corporate secretarial work, sa SEC yun siya na compliances. Kasi si SEC, from time to time, naglalabas na sila ng memorandum circular na kailangan mo i-comply. Latest yata yung MC28, pag-update lang naman yung telephone number, yung address mo, so on and so forth. So yung mga ganon. So, natandaan nyo yan, hindi nyo corporate secretary si accountant. Ha? Merong boundary yun, for favor. So, pero kung may service line sila, i-avail nyo in a separate contract. I'm just telling this from a perspective na experience ko kasi iniisip nila, lahat yan, tatamblingan yan ng accountant. Lahat ng mga service line na out of this world na dapat hindi na. So you really have to check ano yung covered at ano hindi covered. But those are the basic services na ina-avail sa accountant. Monthly retainer, bookkeeping, tax compliance, paggawa ng FS at the end of the year, compilation, and then separate provider para sa audit. Then if you need corporate secretarial work, deal with your accountant if they can do it. If they cannot do it, then go to lawyers. There are some lawyers na nag-offer ng paralegal works or yung corporate secretarial works naman. Ganun
kaya
siya.
Nga, if you will make a paid private community, it will really be valuable. Kasi, di ba, lahat ng updates, ilalagay mo doon. Kaya i-push mo na yan.
Thank you for, yeah, thank
i-push
you.
I-push mo na yan. Tapos, sasali kami. Ako yung pinakauna mong member doon.
Thank you. Thank you for that suggestion.
Okay, sige. Tapos maghahakot din ako ng mga friends ko. Asali na kayo dito para wala na yung problema. Diyan na mag-ano ka na dyan ng updates. Mag-antabay ka na lang dyan. Iko-compile na nilang lahat para sa'yo. Parang ganon. Okay. Ito naman ay galing to kay Sheila. Nag-register daw siya, pero hindi na siya nag-proceed ng filing with the taxes.
Parang para sa kanya, hanggang registration na lang siya, tapos pinabayaan niya na lang. Wala siyang alam tungkol dun sa penalties at sa consequences ng ginawa niya. Ano ang mangyayari kay Sheila, Cez?
Okay, pa si Sheila, baka mag-assess siya ni BIR. Kasi nag-register na siya, ang understanding ko, nakapag-register na siya sa BIR, and then she just left it open na walang file. Okay? So, sa BIR, meron tayong tinatawag ng mga open cases. Ang open cases, ito yung mga tax returns na hindi napafilan. So, sabihin mo, wala naman ako transactions eh. Okay. So, kahit wala kang transaction, you will need to file zero tax returns doon sa BIR. Otherwise, kung wala kang operation, you have to declare na wala kang operation sa BIR. So, I think there's a document that you need to submit, affidavit of no operation yata ang tawag doon. Pero kung yun nga, anong mangyayari kay Sheila, baka kailangan niyang i-check sa RDO niya kung ilan na yung open cases niya and she need to close those open cases para mag-stop yung penalty computation. Kasi yung penalty, nag-run yun daily eh. So,
wow.
She has to deal with the BIR and then do the necessary actions like close, bayaran yung penalty kasi for sure kung na-catch up yun ng system, meron na yung pre-computed na penalties. So, kailangan niyang bayaran yung penalties na yan and deal with the RDO and then kailangan niyang mag-file pa din ng zero tax return. So, yun nga.
Or i-close yung registration niya?
Yeah, or i-close yung registration na kapag hindi niya na kailangan yung entity, i-close na lang yung registration na yun para hindi na mag-run yung penalties. Ganon siya.
Paano kung parang forever siya pinabayaan? Which is parang kung hindi natin siya nakausap, hindi niya malalaman yun. Ano mangyayari sa kanya?
Forever din siya mapapenalize. Pero seryoso.
Papabulin ba siya? Will it ever come to a point na parang knock-knock, Sheila, ito na pala yung ano mo sa BIR. Would that ever happen?
And that's a possibility. We don't want to discount that. That's still a possibility kasi nandang kasi sa system ni BIR eh. Especially kung for example, magtatayo siya ulit ng same structure kung sole prop yun eh. Kung magtatayo siya ulit, di ba, may business
siya ulit. Ando sa pangalan niya,
oo. Ando sa pangalan niya. Pag-run sa system, Sheila, meron ka X number of years na hindi na-comply pa. Ito penalty mo bago ka makapag-register. Ganun yung mangyayari doon.
So, dapat as soon as possible, ma-handle na ni Sheila yan.
Kanina, Cez, nag-usap tayo about OPC and parang we agreed na we prefer that. Paano if someone is nasa sole prop ngayon and parang sabi niya, ay oo nga, no, parang mas maganda, tapos nag-grow na rin yung business ko ngayon. Gusto niyang mag-OPC, ano yung steps niya kailangan niyang i-take?
Okay, so para sa simpler process, you just have to put up a separate entity OPC. And then, kumbaga, so may sole prop ka ngayon, may clients ka dyan, may empleyado ka dyan, or may mga expenses ka dyan. Ang paglipat nun is, parang client, nilipat mo yung kontrata mo dito sa OPC para mas simple lang siya. So magka-cut off pa ngayon dito sa sole prop mo na entity, then ita-transfer mo po yung operation mo dito sa corporate, sa OPC mo. Ganun lang ka-simple. So parang pwede siyang magkaroon ng parallel entity. Habang nagta-transition ka, meron ka na dito itinayong OPC sa kabila. At the same time, up pa din yung sole prop mo kasi nagta-transition ka. Punti-unti, inipat mo ngayon yung contracts mo, yung mga empleyado mo dito sa bagong entity na to. Just to make the process simple.
Pero, kailangan nilang i-close yon both BIR and DPI, yeah. Correct?
Yeah. Kung wala na siya pagagamitan dun sa sole prop, i-close niya na. Simulan niya na din yung process na closure pag naka-transition na siya.
Okay. May tanong ako sa iyo, Cez. Kunyari dito sa mga digital agencies, no? Nasa digital marketing services. Tapos, papasok sila ngayon into influencership or parang, alam mo yun, maging content creation business na rin sila. Dati nasa export services sila. Tapos ngayon, syempre kapag nag-YouTube sa agency, kunyari may sarili siyang channel, edi mag-earn sa agency from that. May kailangan ba silang baguhin sa kanilang SEC registration or kunyari pag naka-under siya sa digital marketing, kasama na yun?
Ang yan kasi nasa articles of incorporation mo if you register with the NCC. So, ang observation namin doon, parang meron kang catch-on provision dapat para kung mag-shift ka man or kung mag-diversify ka man, wala ka nang gagawin. Yeah, so magagawa niyo ng paraan sa tamang pag-upo at konsultasyon kung paano itatayo ang
yung i-check yung articles of incorporation.
Yes, oo. So, kung baga, parang kung na-visualize mo, tapos next time, iba namin clients kasi na nasa digital economy, nilalagyan na lang namin ng catch-all provision. Parang pag nag-diversify sila, wala nang gagawin. Parang covered na siya doon.
Parang ganun nga rin ginawa natin sa Limelight, no?
Yeah, I think, oo. Parang kaya wala na. Bahala ka na mag-diversify sa Limelight mo.
Ako, ano pa ba? May mga tanong pa ba? Ito na yung ano, sabi ko sa'yo kanina. Kung agency ako at magbe-build ako ng YouTube and kunyari I vlog about travel and lifestyle, yung expenses ko ba sa travel and lifestyle na syempre kunyari ginamit dun sa vlog, is that considered a business expense?
Why not, 'di ba? So yes.
Alam niyo na guys. Mag-vlog na tayo lahat.
Okay, ito lang naman 'yan. A piece of advice lang naman pagdating dito sa business expenses ah. Ang business expenses hindi siya, walang specific rules na si BIR ko ano dapat ang business expenses. Ikaw yung magde-define nun. Ikaw ang didepensa sa BIR na itong mga expenses na to are legit business expenses. So as long as you can prove to BIR that these are legit na mga business expenses, like if you do vlogging, diba, travel ka lang pero may output ka and that output is generating income, so meron pa pagbabanggaan doon sa mga expenses mo. Meron siya related income. So why not, diba? So it's just a matter really of structuring your business para ma-document mo na itong mga expenses na to are business-related expenses. Hindi siya personal expenses. Yan kasi yung parang gray area sa industry ninyo lagi. Parang may
ito.
Excuse. Hindi excuse. So parang may mga expenses lagi na parang gray area talaga siya. Pero yun nga, you have to document and you have to defend na ito, legit pa din ito. And as that's much as possible,
right. Sige,
yeah,
go.
And as much as possible, yung documentation, OR, or invoice, or yung mga supporting documents, name it under your entity. Name it under your business para wala tayong issue pa.
Not in yourself. Kasi nga, yes. Magkaiba na ngayon ang sarili mo at ang business mo. That's exactly. Why it's also important, sasabihin ko sana kanina is, it's important to find the right accountant for you. Para itong mga tanong na to, as your business grows, your questions will grow also and they will expand. So para alam nila paano i-handle yung business mo, yung mga transactions mo, magagabayan ka ng tama. So as last na lang to, nasabi mo kasi kanina, isang phrase na ano yung pandinig ko is tax minimization. Yun yung tungkol sa parang hybrid webinar or seminar nyo sa November, di ba? And we are inviting everyone to attend there. Paano naman lang sa mundo namin, ano yung mga tips mo for tax minimization? Ayan. Last na yan.
Di ba? Tax minimization. Okay. Yung konsepto ng tax minimization is different from legal tax avoidance. Ha? So, when we say tax minimization, we are exploring yung rules and regulations ni BIR and maximizing yung rules na yon para ma-lower yung business tax. Yan mean yung tax na babayaran natin. For example, yun nga, kanina, like OSD versus itemized, that is part of your tax planning or tax minimization na analysis. You have to draw the numbers kung anong model ba na ang i-apply mo. Mag-OSD ka ba this year or mag-itemize ka ba this year? Second is, like, you have to analyze your business. Are you dealing with the export market or the local market? Anong applicable sa'yo? So, what else ba yung mga common? Next is, ito pa. Ikaw ba, you want to gain salary out of your business? Pero this is more appropriate kapag corporate structure eh. Kasi, you are going to be an employee din. Kung baka isasahuran ka din ng kumpanya mo. So, practical bang sumahod ka? Or practical bang magkakasave ka ba kapag dividend na lang ang ilalabas at the end of the year? So, that's part of tax minimization.
Ay, maganda yun. Ako, hindi ko alam yun.
May mga ganon. Kasi magkaiba yung tax rate. Mga ganon. So, titingnan, i-weigh mo yung mga options. Yeah, that's part of tax minimization. So, siguro para may mag-attend sa webinar namin, I mean, sa event namin, hindi ko sasabihin lahat ng mga tax minimization scheme.
Sa November na lang sila. Matend na lang sila nung tax updates tsaka nung ano, tips,
yes.
Diba?
Yes. But
so, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Oh, sige, go.
So, But that session is really helpful, especially doon sa mga first time na mag-attend. Actually, every year namin yung nirarun, pero there are not still every year na bagong mga faces na nag-attend. And they are quite surprised na, ah, pwede pala ganito. Pwede pala ako makasave ng taxes ko, lalo na sa income tax, kapag ginawa ko yung ganito. So, it's really just like learning the basic out of the room.
I'm sure maraming na-open yung mind dahil sa episode na to. And I'm sure marami yung curious kung ano yung tax minimization na pinagsasasabi mo. And this is not the last time that you will have Cecil here. We still have, like, alam mo yun, we are just at the tip of the iceberg. Marami pa tayong hindi pinag-usapan, di ba? So definitely there would be more episodes on these topics kasi nga napaka-complicated niya at para siyang malaking maze na dapat may nag-guide talaga sa'yo kung saan ka papunta. Ses, thank you so much. Thank you so much sa time mo. And thank you for being so generous. So you did not hold back on the information and the knowledge that you have. Kaya, thank you so much.
Alright, you're welcome. That's always part of our advocacy. So learn, you have to learn, comply, and save yourself from penalty. So yes, this is not absolutely the last. So just let us know kung anong maitutulong namin. We will be very happy to share information with you. Yes.
Oo nga, baka makapag-collab tayo in the future. Alam mo yun, yung mga business ideas natin, magdugma at some point. Di ba? Lalo na dito sa content creation, sa education.
Yes. Diba? Gusto natin yan. Oo, gusto natin yan.
So guys, if you learned something from this episode, let us know in the comments and give us your takeaways, share them in the Facebook group, leave us a review and a reply on Spotify so that we would know what you would want to learn more or the topics that you would want to cover for the next episode. So that's it for now. Bye! Thank you!
Bye! Thank you also!